You've been doing a lot of work, you know, and one of the things I like to indicate is the fact I'm very proud of you as an artist that's been able to break a lot of barriers, especially as a female. And I'm in love with your rendition of the Negro National Anthem, Lift Every Heart. Oh. Yeah, I play it, so... I've gotten compliments on it. They want to know who you are. And I said, you need to know this person. You've been nominated 6 times for Grammys, and you're always making people button up their overcoat.
I love it. I love it.
Most definitely. You know, and I'm real proud of you for the fact that, you know, in November of 2011, the White House asked you, Nina Freelon, to be the headline for the Asian Pacific Economic Summit, and also you've performed with Jesse Norman, so you've been kind of busy.
I've been kind of busy. It's been a blessing. I've had a chance to do a lot of things that I had only dreamed, that I'd be able to sing for our president and first lady, and so, you know, a lot of wonderful things. It's just a blessing to say you've been out here for a long time. I mean, you know, it's been almost 30 years now, so.
You're 30 years young, Nina. I don't believe it. I first met you at Kennesaw State University. I emceed that show. And, in fact, when I see you, I have a picture for you as well. You know, I emceed that show. And then I had been following you throughout the years with all the recordings that you had, and your latest one, I noticed, it was a Christmas album, which I was very... What inspired you to do a Christmas album?
Well, you know, Christmas is one of those times that brings family together. And for me, it means family and food.
That's a good combination.
A lot of warm memories. And jazz is a big part of my Christmas, too, because early on, I remember those Nat King Cole and Ella Fitzgerald swinging Christmas was playing in the house as I was growing up. So my memories of Christmas are tied to this wonderfully creative music. So I wanted to do a Christmas record for a long time and just hadn't gotten around to it till now. And I'm just so pleased to have been able to do this project with my good friend John Brown.
Yes.
So it's a big band Christmas record. And we did a limited release this year, but next year we're going national. And hopefully, you know, everybody who's interested in Christmas and jazz and all things Nina will be able to get a copy.
I'm interested.
Oh, good.
I'm interested. I mean, one of the things I really liked about you more than anything, Nina, is your versatility, your ability to transcend time, and you are eternally young. What is your inspiration? That's a lot, isn't it?
That's a lot.
Yeah, but you remember, we sat at the table and talked, and you were just so vibrant. I said, now either she's taking a lot of B12 shots, or she's definitely eternally young.
I think I have a lot of energy. I've been practicing yoga for about almost 30 years. So
oh, good.
That really helps me. And you know what, Jay? I think living a life and doing what you love is the biggest part of it. Nobody has to tell me to practice. Nobody has to convince me to do what I need to do to do what I love. I mean, this is my passion, and if I had a dream come true, it would be that I could live long enough to, you know, really try some things that I never thought I'd be able to do, and that is starting to happen for me. I mean, performing for the president, working with Jesse Norman and The Roots.
Right.
Doing some great writing projects, working with children. I mean, there's a bunch of things out there that really make me feel alive. So I think the secret, if there is a secret, it's doing what you love.
You know, you have a great connection. You performed and recorded with your son.
Oh, yeah.
And you connected to a young audience.
Well, you know, that is our next. Those are our next audience members, and we jazz heads, we have to realize that we just can't reach out to each other. We want to bring that younger generation on without compromising anything, you know. And I'm big on this whole intergenerational stuff. We see a lot of things and focus on the negative with our young people, and I think if our children don't understand their history, I'm talking about the Black National Anthem, if they don't know the words to that song, that's our fault.
That is very true.
It's because we haven't done our homework. So we wanted to really put something out there to make sure that the young people knew those words. Lift every voice, not some, not one. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. That's going to have to be a whole lot of people singing loud.
You had a hip version.
Wanted to be inclusive. And my son graciously agreed to pen a little rhyme for it, and I think it's a beautiful collaboration between generations. I'm very proud of it.
I think it's, I'll be playing it again this Saturday. It's not just for Black History Month. I liked it because it transcends time, and it can captivate any audience. And it's the way that you lyrically bring it forth to the audience. And I got quite a few phone calls on it more than one time asking, who was that? So I had to explain to them who you were. They had to button up the... Yeah, I'm serious, you know. I really enjoy it. But most of all, I noticed that when you're coming this Saturday, that you will be doing music and by Lena Horne, and that you have a great connection with Lena Horne. From your childhood, I'd like you to talk about that. As she's been like a primary role model, and your mother, Mrs. Frances Pierce, and Lena Horne are somewhat similar. So I'd like to talk about that journey and the emotion that you put into this experience.
Okay, I'd be happy to. Lena Horne is an icon, and she spans several generations. She was 92 years old when she passed. And so there are several generations of people who came to know her because she has such a long and wonderful career. So on one level, she's my role model for career journey. You know, just to have somebody out there who continued to create beautiful music all of her life. So that's one big inspiration. When I was a little girl, my mother owned a beauty salon. And so I used to sort of sit around the side listening to these grown women talk about beauty and life and heartache and triumph. And I learned a lot about what it means to be a woman just from listening in on those conversations. And Lena Horne came up more than once. The whole gold standard of beauty was Miss Lena Horne. In fact, people would say things like, well, you may think you're cute, but you ain't no Lena Horne. So she was held out there as someone that we could all be proud of. And it's a little hard to explain to people who are younger that she made such a strong imprint on sons, same sisters like myself. There were not a lot of role models at that time. You looked on the covers of Life magazine, you very rarely saw a woman of color. And so she really led the charge. And then on top of being a beautiful woman and a talented woman, she stood up for civil rights. She opened her mouth when she felt something was wrong, and she suffered because of it. So in that sense, she really stands as a real solid role model for what you do with your fame and celebrity. Do you abuse it and send negative messages out there? Or do you use it to champion causes that you believe in? And so I just feel like her life stands for what it means to be a real, true, authentic woman. She's beautiful, strong-willed, yes, opinionated, and she was blacklisted. She was called a communist. When she toured with Bob Hope, at that time, the Army was segregated. She came down off the stage and stood with an African-American soldier. The enlisted men could see her. She never toured with Bob Hope again. But that's the kind of woman that she was. Beautiful, yes. Strong, yes. Talented, yes. But standing up for what's right.
That's very significant, especially during that period of time because the doors were not open, nowhere near open, and took a lot of courage to stand before and stand with an African-American soldier while she was touring with Bob Hope. I had a chance to meet her because I went to school with her nephew at Fisk University, and I met her and her sister, and, you know, I had seen pictures of her for years, and believe me, I was awestruck. to have her right in front of you and actually talk to her, and, you know, she gave me a kiss on the cheek, and I was like in another world. But I, her music, was another world. She was very friendly. But the first, you know, one of the first, I think, records that I heard by her were was Lena Horne and Harry Belafonte. They have a and I remember that because my mother and father had it. So, and I had remembered her in Stormy Weather because there weren't that many, honestly, that many black movies that were distributed when I was young. And they that didn't really happen until the 60s or the 70s. So, so I really,
later on they did that,
I admired you for even, you know, tackling some of the her great music. And I remember before she passed away, she did a play in New York. You know,
she did, and she was eight. She was in her, she was in her 70s, early 80s when she did her one woman show. See, that's what I'm talking about. When you are, according to public opinion, way past the time that you should be doing stuff like that, she had a one woman show.
Yeah,
and it was a smash hit. Singing the songs and talking about her life and reminiscing, and it was a huge hit, and it really reinvigorated her career and introduced her to another audience.
Yes.
And then when my kids came along, she was on Sesame Street singing It Ain't Easy Being Green. And so then there are these little kids at the time who were becoming familiar with this woman who's an icon. I remember she did a Gap commercial when she was in her 70s. Timeless. Timeless woman.
You picked a...
And so, yeah, she's...
Go ahead.
She's the queen, you know. She's the queen.
You picked the matriarch, you know, because you're timeless as well. And what can we expect this Saturday as you perform at the Robert First Center?
Well, I'm looking at Lena's music, yes, but it's not a retrospective. It's not like I'm performing as Lena. I'm paying homage to this woman, talking about my own personal relationship with a woman I never met. I'm talking about how she shaped my life, even though I didn't know her and she didn't know me. But she paved the way so that there would be a place in the world for somebody like me. So it's a way of my saying thank you to her for everything that she did, for all the trials and tribulations she went through. I'm paying a debt of gratitude to her because she made it possible for Nina Freeland.
Hmm. You know, I really look forward to your performance this Saturday, and the audience and our WCLK audience will be looking forward to it primarily because you haven't been here for a while and also doing her music. And will you be doing also some of your own music?
I will be doing arrangements. I'll be doing tunes that she covered, of course, in my own way.
Okay.
And then in between the songs, there'll be little stories about when I was a little girl and how I looked up to her. You know, just different little things. And, of course, we're going to look at Stormy Weather because that's a big song associated with her. I don't want to give away all my surprises, but if you love Lena, you know, come on out because it's going to be a really fun show. We're going to remember together this woman who was an icon and remember that this kind of spirit still lives on.
You know, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to the and grace the audience of WCLK here in Atlanta. And most of all, we look forward to seeing you perform, and we hope and pray that you continue to come back continually to bring not only the great music and lyrics, but some of your life experiences as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for talking to me, and I'm looking forward to seeing my Atlanta people. It's been a while since I've been there, so I'm looking forward to seeing my old friends and making some new ones.
Thank you very much. Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.